Part 2. Critical Documentation. Chapter 8. Swallowing the Horse Pill. Why aren't you going to step up to do something about it? Don't you feel there are enough live people passing off as dead people already? Anonymous. At work, having your protocols written down is as important as what you think or say. This section describes the fundamentals of Work the System documentation. They are presented here as we use them at CentraTel, but readers are welcome to copy and customize them. To create your version of these documents, use our Work the System Easy Template software package. Go to workthesystem.com/easy for details. Linda came up with the following analogy for the three Work the System documents. The strategic objective is your Declaration of Independence, your mandate for a better future. The General Operating Principles document is your Constitution, a set of guidelines for future decision-making. The working procedures are your laws, the rules of your game. Can you imagine our government not having its foundation recorded in written form? Why would it be any different for your business or your job or your life? First, you will create the strategic objective, then the operating principles. These documents establish your bearing. They will keep you sailing straight. Producing them won't take long. Then you will begin your working procedures, and it is here that you will spend most of your time. Again, the improvement of a system is a system improvement, and the documentation of that system improvement is called a working procedure. Time and effort. One day, not long after the system's perspective light bulb switched on in my head, I had another insight. It dawned on me that creating the necessary documentation would not be flashy. The process would sometimes be tedious, and it was clear that documenting all of our systems would take time. The working procedures would not fall into place as easily as the first two controlling documents, the strategic objective and the general operating principles. Nevertheless, it would be a mandatory undertaking. Firsthand, I saw that within my own answering service industry, few owners or managers perceive their businesses from an outside and slightly elevated perspective. Instead, they thrash within the inner workings, smacking those moles on the head. I realized immediately that my industry was not unique. Few small businesses document their direction, and still fewer document their processes. Why is that? I thought. If this system's methodology is so simple and so potent, why aren't more small business owners doing it? Could it be because the system improvement work is too much of a challenge, too hard, too labor-intensive? It's all of those things. And the sheer unassuming nature of what must be done, combined with the fact that other small business owners don't do it, is smoking gun evidence of its viability. In itself, this revelation gave me a surge of excitement about the documentation chores that lay ahead. In any case, if I was to establish solid direction, hone processes to near perfection, and then expect those processes to continue to be near perfect in the future, it was logical the direction and the processes would have to be written down. And then, there was no getting away from it, the next prosaic task would be to ensure that my staff precisely followed the documentation. My next moves were obvious, but creating the documentation would take time away from the ongoing efforts of keeping the business afloat from day to day. Business demands would not step aside while we improved systems and wrote up the attending documentation, and I wondered if we could find the time to write everything down. But then I realized this was a moot question. Accomplishing the work was mandatory because if we didn't do it, the company would fail. And my guess was that if we did do it, the company would flourish. So I swallowed the gigantic horse pill that there was some serious work to do, unexciting documentation work, and plunged ahead full steam. Motivating yourself. To get off the mark, remember there will never be an easy button you can push to make everything instantly better. Documenting systems takes time and focus. But you are already working hard and long, so what's the big deal? Tell yourself simply that you must continue to work hard for just a bit longer. Preparation leads to better control. Yes, the system improvement documentation, the one-time heavy lifting, will be intensive at first, but once it's in place, the ongoing work will dramatically decrease. In my case, I transformed 100-hour work weeks into 2-hour work weeks. A primary thrust of the Work the System method is to generate extra time so you can better prepare. Proper preparation leads to better control of future events, which leads to higher efficiency. Higher efficiency produces more available time, and some of that available time is reinvested in additional preparation. This is the opposite of a cycle of diminishing returns. Again, it's a cycle of increasing returns, a circular system that builds upon itself to ever higher positive results. The largest obstacle to better preparation is the reluctance to invest the necessary time to be better prepared. At the beginning, even if you have experienced the insight that systems make up everything in your life, you must be patient and self-disciplined. You must keep your head down and grind out those working procedures until prosperity and free time begin to arrive, thus confirming deep down in your belly that work the system, system improvement, is a smart thing to do. When the results begin to materialize, and it won't take long, you will become a fanatic for documentation. Note that some documentation will be useful in your personal life, but it will be informal and less intensive. Here is a summary of the Work the System documentation you will put together. Number 1. Strategic Objective. The 1-page strategic objective document will provide overall direction for your business and your personal life. You will create this document yourself. It won't take more than 6 to 8 hours to complete. Caution, this is not a job for a committee. It's a job for you, the leader. Once it's completed, you will get feedback from your superiors, your peers, and your staff. Over time, you will tweak it as necessary. As the years pass, it won't change much. In Appendix B, you will find Centratel's strategic objective. Create a separate one for your personal life. 2. General Operating Principles. Upon completion of the strategic objective, you will begin to put together a collection of written general operating principles. Just 2 or 3 pages long, this condensed Guidelines for Decision-Making document requires 10 to 20 hours to complete, but these hours will be spread over a period of a month or two. Yes, the composition of this document is also a job for you, although you will want to get input from others. You will extract these principles from your everyday experience while formulating them from the perspective of your new system's mindset. These principles are what you believe, and new ones will surface unannounced. Avoid rushing the list. Be thoughtful and patient with yourself. Put them together carefully, and your written principles will change little over the years. You'll want a thorough document for your business. It can be more informal for your personal life. Centratel's document, 30 Principles, are in Appendix C. 3. Working Procedures. Instead of killing fires, you will spend your time creating a fireproof environment. Your working procedures will be the nitty-gritty, blue-collar fundamentals of your work. This documentation is the specific collection of protocols that outline exactly how the systems of your business or your job will operate. Working procedures are not necessary for your personal life, although the concept should travel with you everywhere. Brief, concise, and authored by you and other key people, your staff, peers, supervisors, 95% of your procedures will follow the same 1-2-3-step format. The other 5% will follow an open narrative format. Every system improvement you make will have its own written working procedure. As you did with the general operating principles, you will begin creating your procedures just after you complete your strategic objective. You will start with the most troublesome critical systems and then work down through dozens, if not hundreds, of additional systems, depending on the complexity of your business, job, or profession. But over this period, it won't be a full-time job. If you have staff, use your best people to do the majority of this legwork. Foundational to your everyday business experience and adjusted with evolving circumstances, working procedures are the fluid part of the Work the System method. Centratel's Procedure for Procedures is noted in Appendix D. Lifestyle Requirements. If we choose to live a certain lifestyle, that lifestyle has certain requirements. There are tasks that must be accomplished. These are task requirements, not when I get around to it tasks or if I feel like it tasks. To achieve your desired lifestyle, you must accomplish these tasks whether you enjoy doing them or not. The ability to get the job done no matter the current frame of mind, is necessary for success. No matter how onerous the job or how little you want to do what is required, the payoff will arrive as long as you take the steps. You do not have to like the steps you must take. You just have to take them. 9 out of 10 people don't understand this. They think, rather, if I don't enjoy what I am doing, then what I am doing is incorrect. Bad presumption. The documents you will create are mechanical aids. However, something else is important about them. They are tangible. It makes what you are doing and where you are going real. With written documentation, you can put your hands on your work and your future. Every day you will see your methodology and goals, and this will be a reminder to stay on the path. Always remember that surging thoughts, desires, and hopes are intangibles, and they can divert you. Documentation, however, is real, and it will keep you straight. Once you begin to get things down on paper, this will become obvious. Your controlling documents do not have to be perfect in the first drafts. They can be grammatically incorrect, the sentence structure can be less than perfect, and they can be brief. What is important is that you begin to create and use your documentation. Just begin. You can clean it up later. It is critically important to be self-disciplined from the beginning, and this self-discipline will be evident in just getting started. Get outside yourself. The strategic objective, general operating principles, and working procedures are your self-created guiding lights. In the tough times, they remind you that you are a system of systems and that tweaking certain external and internal subsystems is what you must do. When you are not feeling strong and your emotions are negative, your guidelines are right there, ready to get you back on track or at least keep you from straying too far. As Mick Jagger said, "It's all right letting yourself go, as long as you can get yourself back." Create your controlling documents in moments of lucidity and when your thinking is clear and you have a firm grip on the unadulterated truths of your life. The self-discipline of today will pay off later when you are not so strong. For example, when you realize you are watching your temporary depression from the outside, you will know you have reached a higher level of control. This is cognitive self-management, the ability to examine and adjust your thoughts from an external vantage point. You see your thoughts as independent of you. Systems unto themselves, singular, tangible entities, just like any of the other systems under your control. Your system's perspective will remind you that the reasons for the downtimes are often simple things: too little sleep, low blood sugar, excessive work or TV, negative people, a gloomy environment, the payback for ingesting a mood-altering substance, and so on. Get outside these influences and see them for what they are. Minimize them, and they will no longer eat away at self-control and progress. They will no longer drain your energy or create depression. In my own life, being tired drives me downhill faster than anything else. Like clockwork, every day between 1 and 2 p.m., I go into a physical and mental downturn, and I either nap it off or I crawl through the afternoon understanding that my physical body and my thinking process is at low ebb. By 4 p.m., I am fine again. Discover your own cycles and work with them. Storms of the criminal mind. The criminal mind has a certain grasp on the mechanics of the world, sometimes more so than the average law-abiding citizen. In the classic colloquial sense, the criminal works the system. As he or she strips away the niceties, examines the raw mechanics of the world's workings, and without concern for others, manipulates those mechanisms to selfish benefit. Yes, the criminal approaches things with a malefic bent, but one can't deny that the viewpoint is outside and slightly elevated. Nevertheless, criminality is a losing game because it violates overarching societal systems. If we consider society as a primary system, criminality is nothing less than a flaw, and the primary system works hard to eliminate that flaw one way or the other. If you are a criminal, the force is not with you. Consider the plight of the chronic lawbreaker who gyrates outside of things, bucking accepted notions of how one should act. For selfish reasons, the criminal directs energy toward personal gain without regard for the accepted rules of the primary system, society, taking shortcuts, exploiting system elements, and making small-time gains. As a system is bucked and manipulated without regard for fairness and compassion, the bulwarks of a just society, personal pain arrives in an overt way, jail time, for instance, or in a more covert lack of personal peace. The criminal is afloat in a stormy sea. The TV series The Sopranos perfectly illustrated the paranoia of fighting the system. The characters were diabolical and tormented, and ultimately, doomed. If one is working outside the system, what is the solution? It is to make the decision to accept the general human process as it is, to play the game as it's laid out, to follow the rules. Things are just smoother that way. In the free world, there is a lot of latitude to fit into things and to get ahead in business, social networks, and personal relationships. One has unlimited options to succeed without breaking the rules. The universe welcomes manipulation if it results in a better, more efficient system, but it will fight manipulation that is disruptive. How it works. Look forward to this. In the midst of a less-than-perfect day, you will watch yourself drag your emotions out of a black hole rather than allowing them to swallow you up. You will see yourself do this from your outside and slightly elevated vantage point. Later, you will see it happen again, and then later, again. These self-rescues incrementally strengthen control, and after a while, you will expect this even-keeled response. Soon you will find you won't be so inclined to resort to the old antidote of avoidance. No longer will you bludgeon your way through the downtimes with overwork, alcohol, coffee, sugar, or drugs, the things that rescue your mood in the moment but guarantee more intense downtimes in the future. The learning cycle will continue upward until you have a solid grip on your world and you realize your strategic objective, general operating principles, and working procedures have pushed you to become one of those rare individuals whose backbone is made of steel. It seems odd that dispassionate documentation could have this kind of effect, but, as you can see, there is much more to this than the written word. Emotional fluctuations. Like bedrock, your three controlling documents will stand against the storms that blow across your world. And what storms create the most havoc, slowing, halting, or reversing forward progress? Your own emotions. Documentation lays out everything that is important for getting you to a place of control in your life. Your goals and how you will achieve them, your beliefs about how things work, what is most important to you, and how you will operate. Because of it, your forward progress will ebb only slightly as you encounter the unpredictable and inevitable emotional surges that are part of the human condition. With the Work the System methodology in place, you will minimize the impact of your negative emotional fluctuations. It may be slower progress in those times, but it will be progress. No matter what, there will be times when you think you are sinking. Nonetheless, when those times happen, your documentation will reach down and yank you to the surface before you drown. Outside and slightly elevated. At Centratel, when we took action from our new external stance, turmoil evaporated to be replaced by order. Once we began the new methodology, it was easy to continue because positive results accumulated quickly. The more we invested in system improvement and attending documentation, working the system, the more positive the results we experienced. Centratel is highly profitable now, and I spend little time managing it because the business is self-propelling. As project engineer, I watch over things from a distance, nudging here and there to keep the business traveling in a straight line and at full speed. Centratel is not under control because of my presence as a detail chaser. It's under control because of my insistence on perfecting the systems that compose it. Of course, another critical element of our success is my staff's enthusiasm for the method they help put into place. They are project engineers, too. First you work your systems, then your systems do the work. Centratel is a pleasant place to work. Comm efficiency pervades every aspect of the company. Concurrent with the enormous improvements at my business, the system's perspective flows through my personal life, and I have the same levels of control and freedom there, too. I regained my health years ago, and today consider myself more than robust. One might think my adoption of the new system's perspective came about because I was courageous, but that wasn't the case. It was fear and exhaustion. It took impending doom to see life was not going to conform to my wishes just because I thought it should. Why weren't the answers obvious to me before there was a gun to my head? Part of the reason was that although the year-to-year struggle was killing me, it was more comfortable, more convenient to acquiesce to predictable day-to-day pain than to question my overall vision and methodology. There was also arrogance. It was easier to posture myself as a hero, facing and then overcoming incredible external odds, doggedly marching on, rather than to question my presumption that the world would someday get a clue and adjust to my personal requirements. But when catastrophe was finally upon me, everything distilled down to the raw, indisputable fact that I was not managing the systems of my life. Am I happy the insight came as the end result of trauma? If that was what was required, yes. Do you have to have a gun-to-the-head experience to get to the same place? No. Late that night, 10 years ago, when the light bulb in my head finally flicked on, it struck me that although there was some work to do, it would be maddeningly simple to repair my business and my life. All I had to do was identify systems, isolate them, and then fix them one at a time. Does this make sense now? Do you see there is no need to undergo a cataclysm in order to change your perspective and then fix things? In retrospect, the almost humorous aspect of my outside and slightly elevated enlightenment was the realization this was not some kind of divine blessing bestowed upon me alone. The system's perspective is already permanently etched into the minds of those who manage large, successful organizations everywhere. Yet many of the people who innately embrace the system's perspective, as simple a concept as it is, can't describe it, much less identify it as the critical factor of their success. System questions. By dispassionately dealing with stone-cold reality, the odds of getting what you want are infinitely higher than waiting for a ghost to communicate good tidings, a horoscope or tarot cards to predict a prosperous future, or the multi-million-dollar lottery landing in your lap. Be mechanical. Can you imagine how you will feel as you watch yourself get a grip on life and create what you want due to your own actions, not because of improbable fate, magic, dumb luck, or someone else's benevolence? There are system questions, system filters, you can pose to enable you to really see the hard and cold reality of any given situation. Ask, without regard for my personal preference, what exactly is going on here? Carry that question around with you everywhere, and when the necessary action is obvious but you are still hesitant, ask, is not wanting to take action in this moment enough of a reason to not take action? Flow. You will watch in fascination as the world's endless systems ripple on. It is nothing less than flow, and you'll like seeing it, being a part of it. You will view your personal existence from this nearly metaphysical system perspective that is a step away and a little bit above events. In your work and your personal life, your job will be to tweak your systems, gently goading each to more and more efficiency. Regarding systems that are outside of your control, you will make no attempts at adjustment because it's a waste of time and energy. This world operates at 99.9% efficiency because there are unalterable physical laws that are powered by an unfathomable strength, a strength that hungers for order and efficiency. In the systems that make up our lives, results occur in a cold-blooded way. Outcomes don't mysteriously conform to our personal desires just because we want them to. But this is a good thing because this mechanical reality is predictable. It is something we can depend upon and therefore confidently use to our own benefit. Think about that shovel in the garage. Do you ever question it won't dig a hole? And that rope? There is no question it will secure something, if that is your need. Conversely, will you ever attempt to dig a hole with a rope? The certainty you feel in answering these questions is the same certainty you will feel for the larger mechanics of the world, of the machinations that you will see are predictable and reliable once you get the system's mindset. When you understand the relentless dependability of reality's mechanics, and then carefully work those mechanics, you will get what you want. Three large steps ahead. In the middle of my business and health rejuvenation, I was pounded hard by two unexpected earth-shaking blows. One was the nasty legal battle mentioned earlier. The other was a bone-crushing personal family loss. Those two nightmares arrived at the same time. The first lasted 2 years. The second continued until recently. It was painful during those dark times, but I was able to roll through the days with sanity and effectiveness, watching the goings-on from my outside and slightly elevated vantage point. In Chapter 1, I asserted several points I want to repeat here. The work the system mindset is different from the mental posture most people pack around from day to day. Instead of seeing yourself as an internal component of circumstances enmeshed within the day's swirling events, your work the system vantage point is outside and slightly elevated from those events. The day's happenings are visible as separate and individual elements, arranged in logical sequences. You are an observer looking down on things, examining the comings and goings of the day as if they are tangible physical objects. Things are simple and understandable. Wherever you look, the machinations of the world make sense. Step by step, one thing leads to another as the systems around you continuously execute. You constantly work on those systems. You make them better one by one. Over time, complexity and confusion decrease to be replaced by order, calm, and rock-solid self-confidence. There is little fire-killing and little confusion. And as you continue to peer down at your handiwork, you feel an intense self-respect, and you are proud of what you've accomplished. Does this make more sense now? Once you get it, the work the system mindset is natural and unforced. Here is how it will be. You wake up in the morning with an immediate focus on what is most important for the day ahead. The tasks you will accomplish will be one-time creative efforts, each aimed at carrying you closer to the objectives outlined in your two strategic objective documents, one for your business, one for your personal life. Although you will minimize stepping backward, there is no avoiding it because that is what getting through the day includes. You accept those imperfect movements as part of the overhead that comes with a much more significant forward movement, three large steps ahead for every one small step back. And the inevitable earthquakes? You'll be ready. And at the end of the day, you feel satisfied because there has been tangible advancement toward your prime personal objectives. Working or relaxing, you don't float or obsess anymore. You direct, build, watch, and enjoy. It flows. Illustration: The Giant Machine. Deep in the hills of northern Italy, the world's largest manufacturer of computer printers keeps a factory running 24/7, 365. The mechanical and electronic workers don't take breaks, and they work their entire lives in this fixed location. A daily line of transport trucks delivers raw materials and picks up fully packaged products. A few cars in the tiny parking lot indicate there is merely a small contingent of human workers present. Given the proper security clearances issued from the lone security guard minding the gate, a brave person can walk through the center of this giant machine. Doing so, one quickly learns that even human visitors are under the system's control. Standing at one end of this system of systems, one can barely make out the other end. It's a huge machine, as wide as it is long. Approaching a well-defined walkway, the human intruder is warned by red flashing lights to stop, while a part of the mechanical line physically retracts in order to allow passage. Once the visitor passes, the track closes, and the machine continues at a somewhat accelerated pace to make up for the time lost by the intrusion. This is not the place for the faint of heart or the claustrophobic, as there are no escape routes. Should the machine fail to detect your presence, there are no humans readily available to intervene on your behalf. Yes, you are free to leave, but only at the mercy of the system, and only at a pace that doesn't interfere with system requirements. The giant machine is made up of sub-assemblies, and those sub-assemblies cooperate with each other until complete products are rolling off the end of the line. The fully tested printers are packaged and shipped to a local store near you, and in all likelihood, the first human hands to touch the printers are those of retail purchasers. This is a system of systems with a clear goal, the production of things of value. And where are the human masters? Outside and slightly elevated, of course, monitoring, adjusting, and maintaining. Think about the giant machines of your life. For instance, a car or a house. Each standing alone and pretty much taking care of itself. Can you think of others that make life easier, especially in the workplace?